G'day, welcome on to episode of the Baling Scaling Barbecue Podcast. It's been a little bit of a break. I've had about 6 weeks off. I've had a nice little break. I went to New Zealand, did some hunting, basically just tried to relax as much as possible. Of course, everything's going to start beeping now because I've gone online. Firstly, just want to say welcome and thank you for tuning in and listening. I really appreciate it. Had a really good season last season. It was my best one so far, I believe. I think we had 10 straight weeks and we were in the top 20 the whole time. So it was really good. Really good podcast season. So plan on doing it the same, but I'm going to do it every second week now, just because I have so many commitments going on. And it's basically every second Thursday I'm going to try and do that, because I've got so much editing and other things to do with coming up with a second channel. All right, so I want to got a few things I need to tick off the list before I get Matt the Boar Buster on. Just had a little chat to him. Pretty excited to get in there and have a chat to him. I want to thank the sponsors and the new ones. A big one is just today, actually. I've been talking to Australian Hunters Club. I'll go that way. So I'm a big one for hunting clubs, but the hunting clubs that actually do stuff that help you. A lot of clubs these days are just taking money and not helping out at all. Where Australian Hunters Club with Chris isn't doing that. He's proactive, doing things, helping the community. Chris has done seminars with butchers recently in Toowoomba. They just did a field day, basically caping out fallow buck and butchering side of things. Lots of things happening with the Australian Hunters Club. Now, I quickly just want to mention there's a code I got for them for $10 off. There's three different tiers. Use the code Bailing, so BAILING, my club. That's for $10 off for annual membership. And the reason why you should look into it, guys, it's really, really worthwhile having. If you're getting a gun license or getting into hunting, there's your gun license. Why you need a reason, there it is right there. It has all that stuff there. You've got your hunting courses, you've got guided meets, hunts, you've got guided hunts, and you've got huge, huge prizes giving away regularly. So, I really recommend. It's cheap as chips. It's $20 a month, and you get so many different prizes each week. And also, you get on top of that, reasons to hunt in New South Wales, our license help, and Chris is very helpful in every way. And also, go check out his YouTube channel. It's really, really good. It's called The Huntsman. Lastly, before I'll shut up and get Matt on, I want to talk about just quickly the podcast. Okay, I've done a podcast recently with Matt from the Australian Hunting and Beyond podcast. Now, these guys are all like me, trying to help, trying to make the hunting community better. So, there's a couple of podcasts: the Send It Mate podcast, the Hunting Connection podcast, the Australian Hunting and Beyond podcast, the Hunter's Campfire. Becoming a bow hunter has really helped me out in the last couple of weeks. I've just bought a bow recently. I have no idea what I'm doing, and that Becoming a Bow Hunter podcast has helped me out a huge amount. There's a couple of new ones: the Hunting Republic podcast and the Australian Hunting Backcountry. Okay, guys, they're all anything like that is helping the community, spreading the good word, and it's just awesome. So get on there. Listen to them, help them out, share their stuff, share someone's stuff. If you're on Instagram or stuff like that, just share it. Put on the story. Someone might be interested. It's helping each other out. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. So, so a big thank you to the Australian Hunters Club, and thank you to all the other sponsors. I really appreciate it. All right. Now, I have spoken to Matt a few times on Instagram and social media. Matt is a very well-known guy. The poor fella has been bombarded with questions today from a couple of mates. I'll get him off the mute. Poor old Matt's been flogged with questions. I'm going to read a couple out to these guys soon because it's bloody hilarious. But g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Just had to get that rant out, so I apologize for taking 7 minutes of your time.
You got to do what you got to do, mate.
That's it, mate. How you been, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Flat out with work. Catching a few hogs here and there, but yeah, no, good.
Can you tell the listeners, don't tell us the exact GPS mark, but whereabouts are you located, mate?
Just in this house here. No, I'm a couple of hours out of Longreach.
There you go. Yeah, lovely. Channel country, eh?
Yeah, proper. Yeah, proper. It's good here.
No, well, the pitches prove it. Nice channel hooky bores, which I grew up chasing, and it's the best kind of hunting. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there. I had to hide all my dishes on the bench there. So
that's right. Just get the green screen like I do, and just use your cupboard behind you. So, all right, mate. We're going to get into these questions straight away. We're going to do a bit of a rapid fire. So, trying a new style. Right. Where's your dream hunt, mate?
Oh, I don't know. I think my dream hunt would just be with my kids, wherever. They're all pretty keen on it, and they all love chasing hogs. So my dream hunt would really be just to have all four of them poking around, catch a few pigs, and spend a good bit of time with them. That'd be it.
I will read out one of the questions soon, but I believe
it was. I can imagine.
I'm a bit worried. I don't know how many kids you got, but it's asking
four.
Who's.
I've got four.
Four kids. Okay, so I won't ask that question because I don't want you to be crucified by who's the favourite.
who asked it? That'll be my son, I bet you.
It was. Next question. Favourite gun.
I don't own too many. 22. You can't go past because you can plink rabbits and birds and pigs if you have to. But I carry me 357 pretty well everywhere I go. I've got a Rossi. It's pretty good. Little, compact, does the job.
Not too loud in the dog's ears.
Yeah. Well, they all know what it's about. Not many of them like it, but...
I wouldn't like it either.
No, but it does the job for me, so I like it.
Yeah. Now, favourite food, mate?
Oh, look at me. Anything, really. I don't eat seafood. I'm allergic to it, so
anything else. Yeah. I'll take you a load of prawns and mud crabs.
Even yabbies. Yabbies, I can't eat them. Catch thousands of them, but can't eat them.
Oh, shite. Oh, you poor guy.
It's all good. I don't know. I'm Italian, mate, so I grew up eating some pretty good food. Yeah, I was pretty spoiled, so anything mum cooks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
if you're watching, mum.
There you go. Shout out to mums. what's your favourite dog breed, mate?
Oh, I'm a sucker for a hairy dog.
I could see that.
I'm a sucker for a hairy dog. I love me hairy dogs. Mate, I like all dogs, pretty mostly anyway, but they just got to have manners for me. I don't care what it is, what it does, as long as it's got manners.
Well, we'll come back to that one because I'm going to talk to you about dogs. But Toyota or Nissan?
Oh, I better go Toyota. Seems I've got a couple parked in the garage here.
Yeah, good man. Good man. It's a bit of a worry if you're out Longreach way and someone says a Nissan, you're probably.
Oh, there's a few of them here. Don't worry about that.
No comment. I think the good Nissan's a burnt out one personally, but
plenty of them around.
Oh yeah. Mate, we'll go back. We'll start off with the dog section.
Right up.
You love your hairy dogs. Our mate Jamie O'Toole gave you a bit of a nice comment before saying loves his hairy dogs. How do you get into hairy dogs? Because I'll slowly play some videos and clips soon for the butchers. But you've gone through some hairy dogs and through some skinny dogs.
I've had a few. I don't know, mate. I might have just been lucky, I guess. Everyone I've had has been just laid back, easy going, having kids around all the time. I don't know, like everybody will tell you the same thing about their dog, that it's laid back and good with kids and all that sort of stuff. But I just find the hairy dogs, I think they're built the same way as me. Like they're pretty lazy. they're hairy. They're rough around the edges, but they get the job done. I think
that sounds like me, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Get yourself a hairy dog.
All right. I'm going to go through these questions, bang these out first, because I've had a few people whinge to me. So for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, on Instagram, I asked the listeners to there you go. Adrian said up the hairy dogs. basically saying if you've got a question for Matt, let him fly. For the 125 people that saw it, I think I got nearly 100 comments saying some certain things. So I'm going to try and do the PG ones first.
Well, all the bad ones are lies. We'll start there.
first one, is it true you're a model for the Step Up ads?
Come get some.
The hairy man, hairy hounds. He wrote that, but I've
Pebbles, thanks, mate.
I'll change a little. He's on fire, by the way. At Pebbles, by the way, everyone. Is it true that you taught Chuck Norris how to fight?
Mate, I couldn't fight my way out of the wet paper bag, so I think he's got me confused with someone else there. I think old people. Don't worry about that.
How do you know Matt, mate?
Oh, just from years and years and years of trying to get away from him. back in the day, like before Facebook was a big thing and Instagram and all that, there was a website called Aussie Doggers.
Yep.
And sort of just got yarning to Matty just over that. I bought trackers off him, swapped trackers with him and did a bit here and there. And he just seemed, well, now I've met him, I changed my mind, but he seemed like a pretty decent bloke. Nah. We've got same sort of morals, same similar sort of hunting style. So, like, I think we just hit it off.
Yeah, he's got a good reputation, and I don't know Matt personally, but from people, it's a reputation thing.
You won't get any bullshit out of him anyway.
Yeah, and that's what you see on socials. You're not gonna get any bullshit whatsoever, and I think that's why he's such a liked man. Catches good pigs. Doesn't post shit. Very good. So, mate, where did the hunting start for you? Where'd you grow up? And
It started for me with my grandfather when I was a kid. I'd go shooting with him all the time, and he used to trap a lot of pigs, and we used to do salamis and sausages. I think my earliest memory I've got that I can actually remember without being told is turning up to a pig trap when I was about 7 with my old grandfather in the WB ute. He'd shoot all the big pigs, and then it was my job to crawl in there with the old potato sack and catch the little ones, put them in the sack, and then pass them to him. He'd tie them up, put them in the back of the ute, and then I'd drag the big ones to the gate, and if I couldn't drag them, I'd tie a bit of rope around there and throw the rope to him, and he'd drag them out, and then he'd take them home and butcher them, and the little fellas he'd put in sty and grow them out. But from there, then we moved from Stanthorpe to Brisbane, started school.
Yep.
I was about 17 or 18, and I bumped into a mob of rough fellas. They live in Capella now, the Lewis brothers. Anyone from up there would probably know them. I see our Flackie's on here having a watch. He knows them pretty well. I bumped into them boys just through the ex-wife. Her best mate was dating one of the boys, and they were going out every weekend, mad as cut snakes on it they were, and I got suckered in, caught the bug, and here we are 25, whatever it is, years later.
There you go.
8 dogs and too many headaches.
At least you don't have to worry about getting permits and all that out in the bush. It makes it a little bit easier.
It does.
Plenty of space to let them run free and do their thing. So it's awesome. So, mate, did you grow up? You said Stanthorpe. Did you grow up around Stanthorpe? Or
we pretty well, as soon as I think I was in about grade 2, grade 1, we moved to Brizzy.
Yeah, okay.
Mum and Dad wanted to try and do the best thing for us, and they thought getting us out of Stanthorpe, out of a small country town, taking us to the big smoke where better schools are. So we went to private school and wasted their money for a few years, and then
I'm not the only one that thinks like that. So
mate, I got out of there as soon as I convinced the missus that we should leave Brisbane. We left. I went from Brisbane to Gatton and up to Toowoomba and moved around Toowoomba a bit, and then moved out here.
it's good. Oh, here we go. He's already on here. Jamie, how'd you get service out there, hillbilly?
I turned on all the internet and phone service now that you're not here to hog it all.
lovely. All right, so we got into how to tell us about work. So what do you do for work, mate? Yeah, obviously.
I manage this place. So it's 140,000 acres of channel country, beef country. So I just poke around, check fences, check cattle, fix fences when they need fixing, chase cows that are somewhere they shouldn't be, just general day-to-day duties, water runs, all that sort of stuff. I'm pretty lucky. I'm spoiled because I can throw the dogs on and do my job, see?
Yeah, okay.
So, like, I can poke around in my buggy with my dogs on and pull up at a dam and a pig runs off, I can catch him.
Yeah. You take the camera with you most times, mate, when you do that?
It's all on my phone, eh? Like, I haven't got real serious about it because, I don't know, I just never thought much of it. I used to just film it and send it to all my mates and...
Yeah.
Just my young fella to stir him up because he hates missing out. And then I started. It was just getting the old Facebook Messenger list of people to send it to was getting too long, and then you'd forget who you'd send it to. So I started my
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. Okay, me Facebook's pretty well just me personal stuff, and then. Yeah. My TikTok just got shut down, so it's all on bloody Instagram now. So,
TikTok's too hard to deal with.
Put nothing on there.
Yeah, so even you say the wrong words now, you get blacklisted. So no, mate. You mentioned before your grandfather was he your key figure in getting into hunting.
At the start, yeah, but then he sort of, he passed when I was 16.
Yeah, okay.
But my uncle still had property down there. We used to go down shooting every school holidays and.
Yeah, okay.
And then the two Lewis boys, I owe a lot to those boys. They've done a lot for me over the years, helped me out. A few mates around Toowoomba. Yep. Done a lot. I've probably forgot someone, and I'll get a phone call or a message later. Have a whinge,
it's not days you love, so don't stress. So,
not to you, it's not, but to them fellas, it is.
What was your first dog, mate?
My first dog. My first dog, or my first dog?
The first dog that caught you a pig. Let's say that.
Oh, well, the first dog that I owned that was mine that caught me a pig was a English Pointer cross Canary Island dog.
Canary Island dog? What is
that?
Yeah,
the old Presser. The old Presser Canario.
Bloody hell, I'll have to Google search that.
They're similar to a, what is that big, Cane Corso. Similar.
Oh, Cane Corso.
They just don't get quite as big and heavy.
Yeah.
That was, and she was a handy little dog. She was a loyal little bitch. She caught me one or two pigs, but she was more worried about me than catching pigs. So then I got a pup out of her sister by a big hairy dog. And she was the same, like very, very personable. Loved to be around people, loved to and kids loved the kids, but just wasn't that keen on catching pig. And then I got from Stanthorpe, actually. It was a straight cross Wolfie and Dane over a straight cross Brazilian Mastiff Bloodhound.
Yeah, okay.
The big yellow. I would have sent you a photo of the three dogs on the back of the ute, yellow dogs. It's like a big yellow hairy bitch and then two little. Anyway, that was her on the. She's on the left. She was the mother of the other two, but she was a big bitch. She was 43 kilos working weight.
It's a big dog.
Yeah, yeah. And like I wasn't catching pigs like I am now, so it took a long time to get her going. I bred a fella I used to live next door to, Brendan, in Gatton. I put his, he had a nice, handy little bull Arab looking thing. I put him over her, and I kept the pup out of it. And that little bitch I kept, Betty, that was her just in the photo with the pig there before. She was something different. She was good, that dog. That's her there.
Bit of leg under her.
Yeah, she was fast. It's funny, like, you go through dogs, not that I go through them, but she died 10 years ago, and you forget how big she actually was, because I run her chest plate on me spotty bitch here, and she's nearly my biggest dog. She's just on the ground over there. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah. But Betty, that's her in that picture there, her chest plate is way too big for this bitch here. And I was like, I didn't think she was that big at the time, but obviously she was a lot bigger than her. Stockier, wider across the chest.
Yeah. It's interesting how dogs have changed over the years. Ned Macon put up an article a while back, people breeding shit and all that kind of hoo-ha. It was just a really interesting read, and I got a lot out of it, because people are breeding for the looks of them, and they're not breeding for, their temperament and their how they are. It's, my old boy would never put a dog over a bitch unless it, the both of them were always,
I've got eight dogs in my yard now. And five of them come from the same line.
Yeah.
Like she's pretty close breeding some of it. Like, my big black hairy dog. So her sister is this. This is me main dog here. This is little Brooklyn.
Yep, there you go.
So her mother is my big black hairy dog's sister.
Yep.
And then my big black hairy dog's half brother is the father of these two pups here.
Yep.
And then I got another big, she's not big, but the yellow hairy bitch. She's out of this black bitch's brother by the grandmother.
Yeah.
So it's line breeding until it doesn't work, and then it's inbreeding.
Yeah, and that's it. Long as you're careful and you're not putting, bitch to father and stuff like that, I think you're pretty much right.
I
don't know much about it personally.
Yeah, well, I just, it might, me personally, like, I've been doing a long time. I've bred 4 litters of dogs, so. I refuse to breed dogs that aren't proven worth, and you can argue with me all you want. I'll just shake my head and say, yeah, righto, because you do you, I'll do me. Like you say, I don't like breeding for looks. Oh, he's got blue eyes. I want blue eyes. Oh, he's Merle. I want Merle. Oh, I don't give a shit what they look like.
Yeah.
If they do the job and they do it consistently and they've got all the traits I like, speed, brains, enough hardness to hold a pig, but enough brains to let it go when it's getting too tough and bail it until you get there. That's perfect for me. Yep. I'm not as fast as I used to be, so I need a bit of
bit of buggy, mate.
I just need smarter dogs that don't die on pigs.
That's it.
Which is back in the day, all your dogs are big meatheads that would just hang till the cows come home because no trackers, no nothing. Sometimes they could be there for a fair while before you turned up, whereas these days with trackers, it's only a minute or two and you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Did you ever do the chiller game, mate?
No.
It's interesting when you talk to people who have been in the chiller game, because a lot of them have the bigger dogs. And
I used to offside a fair bit for blokes. I have sold a lot of pigs, caught a lot of pigs for the chiller, but I haven't had my personal accreditation.
No, that's fair enough, and probably the easier way to do it, to be honest, mate.
Hey, you get paid at the end of the day, and you got no outlays, mate. I think that's a smart way to do it.
I agree. Especially if you got good dogs and the other fella doesn't, they kind of keep coming back for you. So
yeah, that's right.
So, mate, what kind of plates are you running? I know it's a big topic these days. People keep asking certain people what. Like, I don't have luggers or anything like that, but you obviously said you had a plate there that an old dog had before. What plates are you using?
So I've just got that. See that little white hairy bitch in that video? I've just got her a new dog a hog plate. It'll be here on the weekend. My young fella's coming out.
Yep.
So he's bringing it out because Jared, who makes them, he's just out of Toowoomba, and my kids live in Toowoomba. So. So I've got a couple of those now, and I really like them. They're flexible and light and give you good coverage. Like these pigs out here, there's a couple of things. Generally, they're fairly hooky and they like to chew. And a lot of people have never seen it before. The pig will grab a hold of whatever they can grab a hold of and chew on it, just like a dog chewing a bone. Like even that video there, you have a look, the pig's got the tracker strap in its mouth chewing on it.
I'll try and pause at the right time.
On the front of that collar, I've got Jared to do it to both of the collars. I've got a strap welded. It was sewn, not welded, on like from the bottom of the bib down to the brisket, and it just hangs there, and the pigs grab hold of it. Once the pigs grab hold of it, I should have grabbed it and brought it in, but anyway. That gives the pig something to instead of, because they're wrecking all my tracking collars and all the straps on me, on the rest of my collars. But so I've got two dogger hogs. I've got three dogger hogs actually. And a couple of pigger friggers. I don't think Nathan makes them anymore. He's from Toowoomba as well. They're a really good plate. I really rated them. That's what I wanted to get, but I got onto him and he doesn't make them anymore. So a couple of my mates run Jared's dog a hog ones, and I had a look at them and I liked the look of them. So I got one Christmas. I just got this black dog here. I got her, hers at Christmas. And then, I'm stoked with it. I like it. It's like I said, it's really lightweight and it's really flexible. So, it doesn't seem to hold water and get heavy. It's currently in the, they're Jamie's dogs there. It's currently in all my chest plates are in the laundry tub soaking at the moment.
Oh, okay. Yep. Now, can you explain why you do that to for people who don't know why you soak your plates, mate?
They were just getting pretty rank. Yep. They were starting to smell. they're getting stiff and not heavy, but just really stiff and not flexible. I just started to notice a couple of rub marks on the dogs where they don't usually have them, and I've just put it down to the fact just from getting wet, mud, blood, shit, all just general wear and tear, and they get wet and they get dirty and then they draw the dirt into them so they get stiff. So they don't flex. So instead of flexing when the dogs are running, it was just rubbing chair patches. Yeah, chafing them back there. That's the word I was looking for. So I decided I'll give them a clean. I used to just hit them with the gurney and clean them off, but I did that first, and then I put them in the tub for a soak. I just put some washing powder and some fabric softener in there, so we'll just see what happens.
Our friend Jamie O'Toole is obviously watching. How'd that little trip go the other month? It was a success, or how'd the dogs go together?
Oh, It was pretty good, actually. I had a good time. Yep. I was saying to you earlier, like, there's no sitting around when Jamie's there. He's he's like the Energizer Bunny. So that's, you won't, what do you say? You won't catch him sitting on the couch, you reckon? So
I heard that a few times.
It's, yeah. Yeah. No, it was really good. It was, I really, really enjoy watching how other people work, how other people's dogs work, and because everyone does the same thing, but they do it so differently. And that's, I really get enjoyment out of just watching. Like, I get a lot of people come here. Like, I got a lot of mates that turn up, and a lot of times I'll leave my dogs at home and just use their dogs just to see how they,
yeah,
just to see how they go. Like, I can catch pigs here all the time with my dogs. So, yeah. A lot of them bring young dogs out here to get them started. So, yeah.
It's the perfect country to get a dog started.
Yeah. Oh, and like, I've got nothing to, like, everyone that comes here is one of my mates, so I've got nothing to prove to any of them.
Yeah. No, that's a great mentality to have, mate. And you know, I'm sure Jamie would be very appreciative to have it.
That's what I tell everybody. Like, if you're hunting with somebody, you're obviously hunting with them because you're mates.
Yeah.
So you sort of, like, I don't understand the competition. Like, banter's good. Good at banter. I love banter, but there's like the actual, like, competition. I don't understand it. Like, you're all mates. If you catch a pig, you catch a pig. Yeah. Everyone should be happy. Like,
that's it.
I'm hunting with you. You're hunting with me. Your dog's caught it. My dog's caught it. I don't care. It's a good pig. We caught it.
Yeah, that's
beauty.
It.
Let's take some photos and get going.
That's it. One less pig for the, you know, to destroy a turtle nest or something like that.
Yeah, that's
know.
Right. 100%.
Do you
spook your cattle through a fence?
Well, that would be your worst nightmare, I'm guessing.
It happens all the time too.
Yeah. do you use thermals, mate? Or have you looked into that yet?
It's cheating. It's cheating, I tell you. No, my good mate Matty. I think he might be watching. G'day, Matty, if you're watching, and Allison. He's a young fella. Matty's a good mate of mine. I've been mates with him for a long time. I've known him for a long time. His kids are like family to me. So I just call him my nephew, the young fella. He's got one. And he was out here. They're out here last week and swinging it around. And, it makes life easy.
Oh, yeah.
It's cheating. It's 100% cheating. But if you catch good boars, I'm willing to cheat.
That's it.
Just been able to sit, like, just pull up and have a look across the flat, and you see there's 30 pigs in a mob sitting there, and there's two good boars sitting by themselves 200 meters behind them, and you can just drive straight down between them and cut the boars off from the mob and catch a couple of good boars. It's just like, well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I had a thing going for a hunt during the week last week, and we had the same little instance there with, you know, we saw a mob of what we thought were deer on the side of the hill, and Dad and I were discussing it, going, what is it? And pulled a thermal out, and you could kind of work here where everything is. So we had this big fog across the fog in front of us, so we couldn't really see what it was, and thermal sorted out. All right, good boar over there, deer over there. We'll stick to the, I'll stick to the big boar, but obviously, knowing my luck and having geriatric dogs and dogs that are too young, we missed the big boar. That's all right. No. We got a pig.
That's pig hunting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of people buying going dogs, and they're missing the essence of pig hunting, I reckon. Like, I tell everybody, like, people don't understand. I love animals. I really do. And my enjoyment from pig hunting is watching these dogs that you get as a pup, and you put hours and hours and hours and hours into them, and you finally get them to do what you've been trying to get them to do for 12, 18 months, however long it takes. Well, that was a shit experience. I don't want to do that again.
I'm going to ask you about that after what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, and that's like, people like, you can't love animals if you go out killing shit. And I'm like, well, When I shoot deer, I shoot them to eat them. When I shoot roos, I shoot them to make money. When I kill pigs, it's a necessary evil. Once you caught them, you can't let them go.
Legally,
you can't.
Legally.
So, like, it's a necessary evil to what I do. And it's and like, pigs are feral pests. Yeah, they cause damage. Yeah, they can hurt your dogs. But I believe, this is my point of view, I don't believe they should suffer.
Yep.
And so you kill them as quickly and humanely as possible. And that is what it is. And you've got to kill them. And that's part of the game. But this having the dogs do the work that's what I love. I love nothing more. You create a bond with the dog and you go to work together, basically. Yeah. So you poke around, you watch your dog, you get to learn your dog's cues. You get to, like, this bitch here, she's my main dog. She's only 18 months old. I'm still working her out. Like, she'll do a few little things that I'm like, yeah, right, I better start slowing up a bit here. And as soon as I slow down, boom, off she goes. And it's like, that's only been the last couple of weeks. Yeah. I've been hunting these dogs pretty flat out for the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, or probably 6 weeks actually. But so it's just still like trying to work them out as you go and get it sorted. That's what I love. That's what gets my.
It's the best feeling, but I just have that. I got two dogs sitting out in the backyard right now. I just can't wait till they get onto it. Like I took them last week. It's just education for them at the moment. It's just basically they're learning manners. And I'm heading out with the Wells boys in a couple of weeks. And it'll be a lot more bulk pigs where we're going. And I just can't wait to walk them in to. It's just going to be so good because you kind of get to see what they're about.
And that's the thing. Like, you watch them, and like these two, I got two little bitches here that I bred, right, from the same litter, same age, and everything. And the little black one here, this little one, this is Sooty. She is very, very, very smart, very intelligent, and she takes everything in from a distance.
Yep.
And this little one here, this is Eunice. She's not real smart, and she'll run in and have a go at anything. So it's sort of like working out what you've got to do. Like, I've got to be careful with her what I let her out on because I don't want her to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because she's not scared. Whereas the other little black one, I know I can let her out on anything. She'll sort it out as she goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just little things. That's where I get my joy from.
Yeah, and I totally agree, man. I think it's one of the best things to watch a dog grow. I know Jamie O'Toole. I've spoken to him a little bit about this. It's watching them, growing into a working dog. He's Rex, one of the dogs he had. I came around to his house. I think when Rex was probably only 18 months, and he's probably 5 or 6 now, or probably even older. And he's
keep your eye on that little Frankie. He's got. I like that dog. He's going to be a handy dog.
Yeah, I haven't seen what he's got.
It's a pity he's a bull Arab, but.
Oh, he's that's right. I did see a couple of bull Arabs.
Shots fired.
Mate, tell us what happened here, the situation. It looks like
it was.
Back from the start.
It was terrible. It's something that if it never happens to me again, I'd be pretty happy. I was poking along and I got to a corner, and as I went to turn, I couldn't see this little black dog, and I pulled my tracker out and said she was 900 behind me. So I was like, well, far out. I thought she might have fallen off the ute. And when I turned around, I pulled up and it's pointing me straight down the road, like 40 meters on the tracker. No sign of her. And there's water on either side of the road there. The road's on my property just before anybody gets their knickers in a knot. So on either side of the road is water, and I figured she'd be just off the road in the water with a pig. You know, I drove back past and there was nothing. I turned around, then the other two dogs jumped. And so I turned the car off and got out, and I could hear commotion, but it was telling me it was like 30 meters straight in front of me. And I walked down the road. I'm like, what's going on here? There's something not right. And then I walked to the side of the road and out of the drain, I could see two tails sticking up, and I got down with my torch and just shook my head. I was like, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can have that. I'll give it a hug.
Mate, I grabbed dogs on the back legs to try and pull them out. And as soon as I'd grab them and start pulling them, they'd let go. And then, so I ended up, what I ended up having to do was get in on my guts and push the dogs up the ass from behind. Because this little black dog, Brooklyn, she was tucked up beside the pig, like hard up against him.
Yeah.
He was rubbing her into the wall, and the other two dogs were like asses out to me. So I just kept pushing them until they were out the other end. And then I had to crawl back because he kept trying to come back in. So I had to crawl backwards all the way back through the tunnel and run around and grab it before it went back in.
For the listeners, so Matt's talking about a big concrete tunnel underneath a road. Is it underneath the road, mate?
Yeah, it is.
So for the people listening, it looks have a look on YouTube on the video. We're at 41 minutes. It's pretty hairy because it's
it'd be flat out. It might be 600 high.
Yeah.
And it's probably not much wider. It's probably 800 wide or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't real big.
not my cup of tea. It's
Like I said, if it never happens again, I'll be happy, man.
Mate, tell us about this giant here. Look at this big fella. He's obviously called a long time ago. He's a big hog.
This one here on the back of the ute. Never weighed him. So a mate of mine, Craig, old Smithy. We used to work together. Him and I don't know, we hit this like absolute purple patch there where we just kept getting onto new blocks, and the first pig we caught on every new block was a pig like this. He was on a winery. Anyone who knows where I used to hunt will know exactly where I'm talking about. So my kids brought home a note from school, actually, saying, "Hi Matt, I heard you're into pig hunting. Would you be interested in getting rid of some pigs for us?" And but how many times have you heard it? And you just think, yeah, righto. So I rang up and they're like, I was speaking to the bloke who owned the show, and he's like, the pigs are here right now. And it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I just got home from work, and I'm like, so they're there right now. He's like, yeah. I'm like, do they come in this time? He's like, every night they're here. I'm like, okay. So I rang me mate Smithy up and I said, Smith, you want to go and catch a pig? And he's like, yeah, righto. So he took his two dogs. I took my two dogs, and then we wheeled in, pulled up, went in. There was a hole. We had an audience, mate. There was about, I don't know, 15 people standing on this veranda overlooking. The pigs are actually in an olive grove, rooting up all the kaikuya under the olive trees.
Oh, yeah.
Which I worked out because I hunted there for about 15 years, that every May the olives start to drop. So they come in. So take note, men, when you're hunting and you keep catching pigs at the same time of year, there's a reason. Anyway.
Take your book everywhere and write
things. I keep track of everything now. But I turned up there and they said, oh, it's just sows and suckers. I said, oh, there'll be a big boar there somewhere because there wouldn't be sows and suckers without a boar. And they're like, no, we've just seen them. They're all. I was like, righto. I said, where are they? And I walked on the veranda and I could literally, it would have been like no word of a lie about 8 or 10 meters, and they were right there. You could see them in the light from the veranda, which was up high, like it was, I don't know, 6 foot off the ground, and then the veranda. So I went back, jumped in the car, drove around, dogs jumped, and hit a pig. And we were running down the hill because Craig's a bit quicker than me. I just heard him lose all his wind. I was like, you're right, mate. And he's like, yeah, there's a fence there. And I'm like, right. So I climbed over the fence while he got his breath back. And I beat him to the pig. And there's four dogs on it, which is not ideal, but you can't help that. And all their heads were really low. And I thought they'd all four dogs had grabbed a sucker. And it was in a big lantana bush.
Wow.
And I said, oh, don't rush. And it was squealing its ring all out, like absolutely just squealing. I'm like, don't rush, it's not real big. And then he walked out of the lantana bush and he was like a 44-gallon drum with legs. And I was like, actually, you better come and give us a hand, mate. And, no, he was a big pig. It blew a puffle valve getting him on the ute, the two of us. But nah, I wish I had weighed him because I reckon he would have been proper heavy, that pig.
Yeah.
But then that was a Thursday night, and then I took the night off footy training too. Well, got in trouble for that.
back to reserve grade.
Yeah, it was. And then it was the next weekend. We went to a new block we had about 40 minutes up the road, and we got one. He dressed, 92.
Nice.
And then, two days. Yeah, he was. He was a good pig. And then 2 days later, we got onto the neighbor's block there, and we got a pig dressed 90. Good boys.
Yeah.
And then, it was, mate, we were laughing. Like, we were just like, if this keeps happening, we're good.
just for the beginners, mate, tell us what dressed means for people who don't know.
Just gutted. So you cut all the guts out of them. We left the pluck in, the heart, liver, and lungs. We just pulled all the guts out.
Which is like, normal, yeah.
Yeah, basically like we were going to box them, basically. Box. Yeah, box weight.
Yeah. So normally I did a bit of a scientific experiment a while back, and I think we worked out for a big boar over 100, his guts weigh about 17 kilos if he's got a full. So I think Dad worked it out as around anything from 12 to 17, so... Yeah, 92 kilos dressed, it's a monster hog, you know, like.
Oh, and the thing that got us, that the one that dressed 92, is we hit a mob in the, sorghum stubble. And there's a big creek run along the side of the cultivation, and all the other dogs jumped. We got about six pigs out of that mob. And he had this old dog we just used to call a Nana. She had no teeth, not a tooth in her head. And we just kept running on, catching pigs. And then after four or five, I was like, where's Nana? And he's like, I don't know. Pulled the tracker out. She was like a K back where we started. So we were like, we better go and see what she's doing. And it was a big washout in a creek, and a big heap of corrugated iron was stuck under a tree. And that ball was camped in. He was back right in under that corrugated iron, just pizzling that dog.
Yeah.
And she was pretty happy when we got there with the other dogs.
the old tail wag when you came
around. Yeah. Oh, as soon as we turned up, she just let go, walked away, and jumped on the ute. And we're like, what's going on? Sean taught you. And then here's this big boar. Just, he's like, pom, pom, pom.
Righto.
Yeah. he was ready. But no, we got him. So that was pretty good. I was happy with that.
Nah, I love talking about it. I could talk about picking stories for donkey. I just love it. It's just so good. I'll have to get you on one time with Jamie, and we'll have
careful what you promise, Lawson.
you'll have to turn the generator on to make sure you've got enough internet connection.
I'll just make sure he's not here using it all.
Oh, well, yeah. He's a man of many talents, that fella. I think he's talking about you trying to start an OnlyFans back here. So
well, I don't know if there's a market for fat, hairy 40-year-olds.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything because the internet is a disgusting place, and I think you'd be disappointed in your clientele if you went that way. So,
they pay me, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I don't give a shit. As long as someone pays me, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, mate, what's next for you? You've got any big trips planned or?
The young fella's turning up this weekend, which he's been pretty crook.
Yeah. Okay.
So, he said he's feeling better, so he might be out this. If he's not out this weekend, he'll be out next weekend. So.
Yep.
I'm hanging out for that. And school holidays are my thing because me two youngest girls fly out every school holidays.
Yep.
I was going to go to Collinsville this weekend?
Oh, the Ecker.
No, Collinsville. Oh, pig hunting. This weekend. Yeah. I was umming and ahhing about going to that, but the local radio's on, so I'm going to go to that. Run amok, come home.
Fair enough. I'll Jamie asked, how's the girlfriend in the back?
Hey, she's got two new girlfriends now, little white woolly ones. So she's got plenty of company.
Lovely. Well, mate, we're in there 50 minutes already, nearly up to the hour. So thank you so much for coming on, and I'd love to get you back on with Jamie and we talk war stories.
Yeah, mate.
It was a pleasure having you on, and I'm so glad you came on, and so thank you. So thankful the comments and the sharing you do. It's I really appreciate it. When you share my stuff, really appreciate it.
Try and help. To be honest, I haven't worked out how Instagram works. So there's plenty of stuff I'd like to want to share that I can't because I don't know what I'm doing. And whenever it's easy, I can do it. So
you should have got Jamie to show you. He would have showed you how to do all the Instagram stuff.
He's proper. He's an Instagram king, that bloke. He's all over it.
Yeah. All right,
reels
mate.
And reels.
Thank you so much for coming on. And
no worries, mate. Anytime.
I'll get you back on with Jamie. We'll spin some more bullshit. So
hey, it's only bullshit if you get caught, eh?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for there's quite a few of you watching, so I really appreciate it. Do me a big favor, head over, give 5 stars on the app or thumbs up or whatever. So leave a comment, really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.